to summarize Walk Kansas, what it aims to do is to help you make improvements in your lifestyle habits, to surround yourself with supportive people, and then to empower you to make good decisions about your health in terms of health care and monitoring and just staying on top of your health.
Walk Kansas, an 8-week health and wellness program from K-State Research and Extension, marks its 25th year as a statewide program this spring. This year's event runs from March 30th to May 24th. On today's Sound Living, Adopting Healthful Lifestyle Habits. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman. Walk Kansas state leader and Northeast Area Family and Consumer Sciences Specialist Sherilyn Jackson says that each year Walk Kansas brings a renewed focus on helping participants meet the physical activity guidelines for Americans, as well as increasing the amount of fruits and vegetables they consume. Sherilyn, Walk Kansas 2025, March 30th through May 24th, will actually mark the 25th year of Walk Kansas. It really doesn't seem like it's been going on that long, but it has.
No, it doesn't seem that way. And actually, that's 25 years as a statewide program. And as you know, it was a program that was started at the local level. And so some of the communities around Manhattan were doing Walk Kansas even before that time.
What are some of the things that you're maybe thinking may be part of this 25th celebration?
Well, we don't have any big type of events planned, and some of our local offices are going to be doing some things there to mark the 25th anniversary, but certainly we'll be highlighting some of the successes from those 25 years, bringing back, you know, some memories and some testimonials, I hope, from people that have been in the program for quite a while and have done it repeatedly. But mainly we're just going to keep the program going. It still is a very vital program for K-State Research and Extension. We'll have, of course, a celebration focus to our T-shirts and all of those kinds of things. But we're just really thankful it's still going, that people are still interested, and the interest just continues to be strong.
That's a good point, because when a program lasts this long, it means that people are getting a benefit out of the program. So let's go back and really get into the basics of how Walk Kansas works. This is a team event, but can also be a solo event now.
That's right. We started out as a team concept, and really that is, I think, one of the more fun ways to participate in Walk Kansas. You're part of a team that can be your family or your friends, or what seems to be most common or most popular are teams at the workplace. We spend a lot of time at the workplace, and when you can have those people around you who support and encourage you, it's a real support network. It really helps to create that healthy lifestyle change. And so that's an option. Teams of 4 to 6 people, ideally. We base it on that concept that if 6 people were to meet the minimum guidelines for physical activity, which is 150 minutes of moderate activity per week, they could collectively walk across the state of Kansas in 8 weeks' time, that 423 miles. So that's what the program really is based on. So we have different trails that people, that teams can select based on what their goals are. If they want to meet the minimum guidelines, they would sign up for our 8 Wonders Trail. If they want to do more than that, there are other trails they can choose. And then there's the solo option, and that's just basically a trail that explores sites that are closer together. You know, it's going to take longer for you to reach a point along the way, and so we try to pick things that will allow a solo walker to stay engaged. And so there's really no, like, end point to that trail. It's just whatever kind of a goal you set for yourself.
And with those guidelines, you're really making sure that people are getting out there at least every other day, or maybe even more often than that.
It's important to try to get activity, intentional activity, 5 days out of the week. That's the minimum guideline. But it's that 150 minutes per week at moderate intensity, or you can go at a more vigorous pace and get the same benefit with less time. So that's up to you as to how you want to structure it. But we'll explore a lot of those benefits and how-tos and all of that through our weekly newsletter, which also includes a lot of health tips, information about physical activity, healthy eating, a healthy recipe, all those kind of things that keep people engaged, as well as some webinars that participants will have access to, some new ones this year, as well as the webinars from the past 2 years.
Why did they decide on walking, and why did they also decide on the 8-week time frame?
Well, walking is an activity that most people can do. I also want to clarify that if you can't walk, let's say you're in a wheelchair, we should be more inclusive in terms of it's walking or rolling, anything that gets you to a point in working at a moderate intensity level where you can carry on a conversation, but you can't sing. That's an easy way to tell if you're working at a moderate pace. You can barely carry on a conversation. If you're able to just sing, you need to work a little bit harder. So whatever that activity is, so if you're doing walking, biking, running, rolling, playing tennis, playing pickleball, whatever it is, those are the kind of things that we want you to do. And the 8 weeks was really long enough to get into a routine. There's varying research about how long it takes to form a habit, but 8 weeks is a pretty solid time frame in terms of it's long enough that you've developed a routine, that it's something if you stop doing it, you feel like you're missing something.
The start date, too, I think also kind of ties in with the spring is arriving and people are looking for things
to
do. They want to get outside. They want to be moving. And this not only gets you through the spring, but it also kind of moves you into that warm weather where it is a little bit easier to continue those outdoor activities.
Exactly. But, you know, this is Kansas and we don't know what March 30 is going to bring. And we've had complaints about, you know, we want warmer weather. Well, I have no control over the weather. But hopefully at that point, weather will be more conducive to being outdoors. But also, it's important to find things that you can do indoors and to not just limit your activity to only things you can do outside. So we also encourage and provide ideas about things you can do indoors when that weather just isn't ideal to be outside. And then we know that in the heat of summer, sometimes it can be really, really hot. So you want to maybe do some things indoors as well. So we cover a lot of that, helping people sort of plan out, you know, how can I be physically active depending on the conditions that the weather gives us.
We also, during that time, find a lot of the healthy fruits and vegetables readily
available.
That's
right. Yes, I think that's what's exciting, too, is that some of those spring gardens are starting to produce. And, you know, what do we do and how do we eat more healthfully? I'm looking at strategies for incorporating more fruits and vegetables, but also really an emphasis on less ultra-processed food. That's sort of where our emphasis is. This year also, we're going to be looking a little bit more specifically at prevention and even some management of diabetes. That is something that affects many, many people. One out of three people will likely face that kind of a chronic health challenge, but also other chronic diseases. That's what Walk Kansas is all about. It's helping to prevent a chronic disease, but also then if you have one, how do you manage that successfully? And so we'll be looking at that a lot in our program this year.
Yeah, you're right. It's not a weight loss program, but a lot of this does have that benefit.
It has that benefit. But one of the things, too, that we know is there's so much crossover in terms of whatever chronic condition you might have. What's good for your heart is good for your brain. The healthy gut and healthy heart and brain connection, all those kinds of things. Also, whatever we recommend for somebody that has diabetes or that has a risk for developing diabetes, that can also help protect your heart, your bones, your brain, protect you against cancer and help you maintain a healthy weight. It's all tied in together.
Yeah, we're even starting to talk a lot more about getting a good night's sleep.
Exactly. Sleep is a big part of that. So we also address that issue. You know, what does it take to have a healthy lifestyle? So it's a lot more than physical activity. But physical activity is a good place to start because you can have immediate benefits. Some of the other changes that you make, it may take a while before you notice there's a real benefit. Getting a good night's rest, that's probably going to be pretty immediate as well. But one of the things about physical activity is you'll feel better almost instantly when you get some activity. Chronic diseases are challenging for many reasons. So in addition to the impact it has on your physical health, it can also affect your experiences socially, your experiences at work and in relationships. So I think to summarize Walk Kansas, what it aims to do is to help you make improvements in your lifestyle habits, to surround yourself with supportive people, and then to empower you to make good decisions about your health in terms of health care and monitoring and just staying on top of your health.
This is something that you do routinely. You get into that routine, as you mentioned. And the fact that you're doing it with others kind of gives you that little extra boost on maybe those days when the weather isn't perfect, you still want to get out there because
Right. You're
trying to get those 150 minutes.
And I've heard people say, well, I don't want to let my team down. I really didn't feel like being active or getting a walk, but I didn't want to let my team down. I also want to say, too, that we want to accomplish these things, but we also know that it's important to have fun. And we want Walk Kansas to be fun and invigorating and motivating. And then there's so many spillovers from that. Also being more productive at work, being more satisfied, it improves your mood, your outlook on life. So there's just a lot of spinoffs from having some of these healthy lifestyle habits that you can really key in on.
This also then ties into some of the other extension programs that are going on that might talk about yoga. They might be something that helps you with strength training. So there's kind of a companion programs that go along with this.
And the strength training is part of the physical activity guidelines. So we also emphasize that. And in our logging system, online system, you can indicate if you've done strength training. The goal is 2 days out of the week, at least 2 days. You need a rest day in between for those muscles. But 2 to 3 days of strength training per week, doing some strengthening exercises. It doesn't have to be a full-on strengthening program necessarily, but we'll key in on a couple of particular strengthening exercises that are just good ones to do routinely.
The other nice thing is, other than shoes, you don't really need much more for walk Kansas.
Exactly.
And a lot of these exercises, a chair, a counter, a rail, sometimes that's enough.
Yes. You don't need special equipment. You don't have to pay a fee to go walk. But there's some things that you need to do to help prevent injury, and also like a warm-up activity. We'll cover what does that include, making sure that before you go out and get a good invigorating walk that you've had a good warm-up, and then a cool-down. And that's when you cool down, that's the best time to do your stretching. And so that's, again, all part of our program.
You mentioned safety, and that's something that you're going to focus in on this year, too, with some tips for bikers and walkers.
Yes, I'm excited that we're able to partner with the Kansas Traffic Safety Resource Office, and they're going to be providing safety tips for walkers and bikers each week, as well as drivers, because, you know, when we're out driving, particularly here in Manhattan on campus, you've got students you need to watch out for and people that are out exercising or getting bike rides and walking. So it's safety tips for drivers to increase your awareness and skills so we can all enjoy being active and safe at the same time. And so we'll look forward to those weekly tips. I want to thank Courtney Nolan for reaching out and partnering with us this year.
The other thing that you are tracking, or at least asking participants to track, is their water intake as well as their fruits and vegetables. And that's been something that's been going on for a long time. So we're starting to collect some really good data along those lines.
Right. We see a real solid success when we look at fruits and vegetable consumption particularly. And I think a lot of it is that when you are being asked to write it down and to track it, you realize, and people have mentioned this frequently in their evaluations at the end of the program, I didn't realize that I wasn't eating very many fruits and vegetables. Or another comment has been, now I know I have to start at breakfast with getting some fruits and veggies because otherwise I can't get enough in throughout the day. So a lot of our recipes incorporate fruits and vegetables and different ways to enjoy those and maybe try something new. But just to be more intentional by writing it down or logging on the system, what you're eating helps people realize, hey, I can do better.
Yeah, you mentioned the recipes, and a lot of people really like the newsletters because that has a variety of information that really goes along with the program.
It does, and we also have issues from like at least the last 5 years there. So there's quite a library of information that participants have access to. And those are also previous year's newsletters also included on our website at walkkansas.org. And so encourage you to check that out and learn more about the program.
It's always nice when we have recipes that we know are tested and trusted, as opposed to some of the things that they may see on social media where, you know, you're getting 8,000 calories if you make this. These are good, healthy recipes.
Yes, and I try to get some input from others as to, hey, do you like this? And using ingredients that are available just about anywhere, you know, things that are easy to find. And also just incorporating ways to enhance flavor with less salt. Just some good strategies for changing the way that you cook. Just simple things that you can do.
When can we expect the registration to begin?
We expect registration to be up by March 3rd. That's a Monday, first Monday of March, and it'll be open through the whole month of March and ready to kick off on March 30.
This is also a relatively low-cost program.
It is. It's a $10 fee per participant. So if your team captain's registering you, we ask that the captain, you know, pay for the entire team, and then you can reimburse your captain for that. But it's $10 per person. You get quite a bit for that $10.
That's Walk Kansas State Leader and Northeast Area Family and Consumer Sciences Specialist, Sherilyn Jackson. This year's event runs from March 30th to May 24th. To register as a team or as a solo participant, go to walkkansas.org. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman, and this is the K-State Radio Network.